tired.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just tired. You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Do you know how much I wish I could be like, happy sunny die, see you in January?
You just told me I have to go back over there.
You do, because we
as
still
soon as
have
we finish this.
We still have issues to deal with, and the day is not done, Scott.
Sadly, you're correct. And not only is the day not going to be done, the session will continue.
Okay, so everybody, I'm see if I can say this without crying. today, it used to be that the legislature did not adjourn until June. How I survived that, I don't know.
But yeah.
They didn't adjourn
until June. Seems like a long time
June.
Ago. Mm-hmm.
And so they changed the law several years ago to adjourn the second Thursday in May, which is today,
and
by
that's,
5 p.m.
And then they added onto that, they layered onto that multiple weeks of vacations.
They added in several different spring breaks and furloughs
yes.
and things like that. But anyway...
For budgetary purposes during the recession.
Of course.
But that tradition has continued for low these many years.
Well,
everybody got
people,
used to that little that nice vacation.
People still play the Masters and they still play at the Heritage. So
yeah.
That did not change.
Yes, that's true.
So
the net effect is
we have to make up days in May. It's like
they gotta keep coming back.
It's like as if we were in school and it snowed.
Right.
And they're
right.
like, well, you know, you got that snow day, yeah. but you're going to have to make it up on the back end.
That's right.
So every other year that I've been working in this job,
mm-hmm.
I would say the majority, I mean, I would say up until McConnell v. Haley, the court case.
Yes.
Since then, there has been a sine die resolution or an adjournment resolution that the Senate and the House pass that dictates exactly when they're going to come back,
mm-hmm.
and it dictates exactly what they're going to take up. It is a very narrow resolution that only allows them to deal with the budget, other conference committee reports, certain pieces of legislation that are necessary, and it tells them the exact dates that they're going to come back and when they are to adjourn.
Yes.
We don't have one this year. For reasons largely unknown.
Well, I think they're...
Well, known and unknown.
Yes. I mean, I think we have some pretty solid speculation as
right.
to why we are where we are.
If we were
currently.
Detectives, we would have some solid leads.
We got plenty of, what do you call it, circumstantial evidence
we do.
To present
we do.
To the listener
right.
as to why
precisely
we are not going to be
not
under
have a
sine die.
So... Mm-hmm. In the event that the House and Senate do not pass the sine die resolution, if they are to return to Columbia, it is the responsibility of the governor to call them back into session. If that happens, then they are not bound by any resolution to stick to one or two subject matters.
They can take up anything they see fit when they return.
It is the Wild West.
At the request of the governor.
It is a free-for-all.
Which can be advantageous depending on where you are on an issue. But,
that's right.
More times than not for our cities and towns, ours is a defensive position because we got to be vigilant for shenanigans.
That's right. So we heard.
And that is as charitably as I can put that.
I really appreciate it when you have charitable viewpoints, charitable conversation, because I'll just tell our listener, I'll just let you in on this kind of behind the scenes. We are not that way when we are not on the air. We generally convene in the hallway and there's some hollering. There's probably a curse word, a swear word or two.
We have been asked on a few occasions over the years to pipe down.
To maybe
and to watch your mouth.
To tone it down.
Yes.
It makes for some real entertainment.
Yes.
Especially for our finance department, because they're the closest ones
sadly
to
sadly for those folks, we forget that very quickly sometimes.
So yesterday
Today's Thursday, by
Today is Thursday. On Wednesday, Speaker Merle Smith announced to the body that they would be returning, that the governor has...
The House,
the House would return at, per the governor. So they've already talked and they've, you know, kind of ironed this all out. That they would return on Tuesday.
The 16th.
The 16th of May, which is in 4 days.
4 days,
whatever.
5 days, whatever.
That they would return on Tuesday the 16th to begin to debate the Senate abortion bill that was passed by the Senate earlier this session and has sat in the House for several months.
So the Senate passed its version of the six-week abortion ban.
That's right. It was what they've passed before, the fetal heartbeat bill.
They sent that back to the House.
That's right.
The House Judiciary Committee, did they amend it some? Yeah, they put several amendments on it. It was then read today across the desk to, and then immediately put on the calendar for Tuesday.
Right.
For well, it was put on the calendar. They could have actually could have taken it up today because they waived the 24-hour rule.
Mm-hmm. When that bill was read across, the first vote was to waive the printing or waive the 24-hour rule where it has to stay on the calendar.
Yep.
Before one word was uttered about the bill, Majority Leader Representative Davey Hyatt invoked cloture, which means he immediately limited debate on the bill when they take it up. Vote was taken on that. Overwhelming. Overwhelming vote to waive the printing. Overwhelming vote to invoke cloture.
Yes.
And then they immediately objected to the bill and adjourned and put it on the contested calendar.
Correct.
So now that is the only bill. There was one other bill in the contested and they adjourned debate until January on that bill. So now there's one bill on the contested calendar and that is the Senate version of the abortion bill, which is now...
That's on the contested calendar.
It's on the contested calendar.
So come Tuesday, will they have to run through the calendar to get to that?
There's not much left on it.
Will they put it in special order?
Well, they can... No, they'll probably just adjourn debate on all the other bills, the uncontested bills like they've been doing this week.
To get to it faster.
Yeah. So
that's what they'll do Tuesday.
That's what they'll do Tuesday. And Speaker Smith said, bring breakfast, lunch, dinner, bring clothes, bring whatever. We're going to do it until we finish. But I don't anticipate them going after Tuesday because they've already invoked cloture debate to a couple of hours. I don't think they'll be here past Tuesday. The Senate is not coming in next week.
And we still don't have
an
adopted budget. Is that correct?
That's correct, Scott. we are awaiting the announcement of conferees. Because they haven't been, I don't believe they've been officially announced, or maybe they have
the Senate has. I don't know about the House yet.
Okay. So we're waiting to see. I believe the conferees will meet next week. They plan to meet in Columbia
next week, Monday. Yeah.
And then maybe present the conference report to the Senate on the 23rd of May and then to the House on the 24th.
Right.
So then they plan to come in that, and then they said they would come in the 30th or the 31st if needed.
Yeah, I'm not sure
they may be coming in to do vetoes.
If they dispose of the budget, and of course that assumes that the governor's going to be done. Will he have time to issue vetoes? If they adopt the budget on the 24th, the House does, then that'll give...
What is vetoes for the budget? Is it 7 days or five?
You tell
business
me. You're the
days?
You're the rules expert.
I can't remember.
I think it's five business.
I think
days.
It's five business days on the budget for line item vetoes.
That sounds right.
So they could come back on the 30th or the 31st and do
to deal with this, or they could just wait until January to take them up. But the problem is, if he ends up, let's say he slashes some of the earmarks out of the budget,
right? That then, throws everything out of balance.
Well, it throws everything out of balance, but it also deprives those earmark recipients of getting the money as soon as the fiscal year starts July 1.
That's right.
If they waited to work on his vetoes in January.
Right.
So they would lose 5 months worth of opportunity to spend that money.
That's what we're looking at. So we're looking at for sure 2 more weeks, possibly the third week. Speaker Smith did say that his goal is to return the South Carolina General Assembly to a part-time legislature and not meet between June and December.
When did he say that? Like they
have to do it on the floor.
Today?
Uh-huh.
I didn't see that.
On Thursday, yeah. I heard
missed that.
See, that's why you have me.
Well, yeah.
That's why I get paid $1 billion a year.
That's why it takes a team.
To do my job and be your administrative
assistant. So he wants to be a part-time legislature.
He wants it to go back to where they don't meet in, you know, June, December, June, July, August, September, October, November.
That's a nice sentiment.
Now, we don't have redistricting to deal with.
Yeah.
And
don't have a pandemic.
We don't have a pandemic. And you know what? Now that you've said that, I would like to just give a shout out to Senator Marlon Kempson. He is giving his farewell speech as we record this podcast.
Yes.
I would suggest go back in the archives and watch the Senate session from today, because there was a great mashup video that he did of, they did leave off tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
That was big tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorites, but they did kind of go through all of his phrases, and he put it together. He produced the video. So
it
was fantastic.
I thought I'd do a pretty good Marlon Kempson, but Erica Wright is a
you
dead
can't hold
on
a candle.
Spot.
Yeah,
yeah.
You would think
she's got it.
She has it.
Fantastic.
Just set.
So
Joni hollered from down the hall. Is Marlon here? Is Kempson in the building?
It sounded like him, didn't it?
He's a
good senator. Hate that he's leaving, but he's moving
right.
on to a position in the White House in the Biden administration. So, thank you, Marlon Kempson, for your work and. Thank him again for being the lunch speaker at HLAD a number of years ago.
That's right.
That was a fresh change.
Little, from what we were
from what we used normally
to.
Have. Yeah. So
and you know, it's nice to have the legislators, the senators and the House members come in, because it gives everybody kind of an idea of what you're dealing with.
Right.
It's not everybody's not the same, and everybody doesn't do business the same.
That's right.
And so we have to be I think the word is nimble. You have used that word before. We have to be very flexible, nimble,
yes.
ready to deal with all kinds of personalities. All right,
sets the table.
Now the listener knows what kind of junk we're dealing with over the next couple of weeks and kind of the schedule that we've got and what to expect.
Yes.
So now, you know what I really wanted to do? I'm not counting this as the wrap-up episode.
No.
On the wrap-up episode, I want our listener to hear us crack some beers.
We still got a long way to go.
I know. Everybody just buckle up. We're going to be doing this until the end of the month, and then we'll get into the different content.
You know what I'm going to do in celebration of that?
What are you
and
do?
In support of a solid local business? I might go roll over to Heart Vegas to Wild Heart Brewing
yeah,
and bring in some
love it.
Some Casey Hancock.
They had like a
Wild
blueberry
Heart Brewing
beer
beers.
That we tasted that time.
Yes.
Scott, I think that's a fabulous idea.
Mayor Hancock was so funny. We were talking about at the mayor's meeting a couple of weeks ago. Todd Glover, our executive director, was giving them sort of in response to a question about why we aren't doing the dinner at the annual meeting anymore. And Todd explained it was largely a cost savings measure. And he told the group that a can of soda at a hotel is $7. And Casey Hancock, Mayor Hancock from Hartsville, raised his hand and said, he goes, Todd, I'll do it for $6 a can and I'll upgrade you to beer.
Right. Everybody was like, hey, let's go.
I pointed at the mayor and I said, sold.
Will you get some of the blueberry stuff?
Sure.
Brew? I can't remember what it was, but I remember tasting it and it was really good.
Take a field
good.
Trip over there between now and the end of the session in August.
I heard that you had to please. I'll start crying. I will legitimately start weeping right here on this podcast.
Goodness.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want to show my true feelings right here.
All right. We've set the table.
Let's get some business.
Yes.
Let's take care of some business.
Okay.
And let's go ahead and preface. I might have to do a cut-in like I did a couple weeks ago once we find out what really has happened, you know, what eventually happens by 5 o'clock.
Well,
we're recording it now is because we've got to give Mr. Producer time to edit, which not many edits have to occur.
And I have to go back over there for a meeting.
That's right. Scott has a meeting. So let's
with a House member
on an issue.
On a budget proviso that we can talk about.
That's right. Later.
On the ship.
Later.
Later.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. squat trucks.
Headed to Henry's death.
Senate 363. That was last Friday or last Thursday, a week ago, it was headed to the desk. Mm-hmm. So we should be seeing a veto, a signature, or a pocket veto any minute now.
Yeah, the governor hasn't. I guess you got to have a step stool to get up in those things. So maybe that's what he's waiting on to sign that bill.
I don't know.
Or maybe he'll. If he pocket vetoes it, that's fine too.
Right, that's fine. It'll become law without his signature. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anybody that took, third grade government, is that when you take it? Third grade? No, that's South Carolina history. My kids take third grade government.
I took South Carolina history in eighth grade.
My kids took, kindergarten government because they live in my house.
Jerry Henson was he was the baseball coach.
Senate Bill 31, which is the financial compilation.
The less than audit bill, the financial compilation bill.
Yep. That bill was passed by the Senate. It was got to the House. It was amended by the House. Just passed, given third reading today.
Yes.
By the House, and we expect the Senate to concur on that bill this afternoon.
All indications are that the Senate will concur.
That I may have to dip back on here tomorrow and give an update, but that's what we're expecting.
The amendment on that bill did not involve cities and towns. The amendment was to allow counties, allow counties to submit their audits to the state treasurer instead of the comptroller general, and to also give the treasurer some discretion about giving extensions for getting those audits to him or her in the future.
And everybody seemed to be fine with the...
Yes. In fact, Representative Bill Taylor from Aiken got up and thanked Representative Gilda Cobb Hunter from Orangeburg to say, hey, this is a great bill. I appreciate your work on this. And he was happy that the two of them, who are on political
opposite
sides, that they were able to agree on this.
Scott, in the Senate, too, it was a great bipartisan effort. So with the sponsor, Senator Hutto, also worked with, all the subcommittee chairs, Senator Verdin and everybody. So it was a real bipartisan effort. Everybody kind of looked past politics to get this done for our smaller towns.
Senator Danny Verdin from Lawrence was very, very complimentary and enthusiastic about that bill and shepherded it very well through the Senate. So, yeah, you're right. But you know what, Casey?
To me,
that simply points out how generally nonpartisan municipal work is.
Well,
municipal issues.
We don't run. I mean, only nine cities and towns have six municipalities have partisan races. Everybody else is just doing the work of the people.
But even in those cities, the work that cities and towns do is not partisan. It is not. It's not a red or blue issue.
No.
It is just work. It's just get it done and serve the residents to the best of your ability.
You know who is serving right now that I want to acknowledge because it's the very first time that he's had a real full-time job?
Please let me know who you're talking about. Sorry,
talking,
I had to get some. Had
I'm
to
talking
swallow
about
some water
the there. Newly coronated King Charles III.
Chuck.
Bless his heart, he's 70-something years old, and he just got a shot at it.
He finally made it.
And let me just say this. That was the first coronation in, 70 years, Mr. Producer, that we have witnessed? The first one in my lifetime, obviously.
Yes.
And in that vein, I'd like to ask you a trivia question.
Okay.
Based on the celebration of the coronation of the King of England.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Enlighten me, please. Fill me in.
What I like to do is catch you off guard.
Ask away.
Because we're talking about something different, but then you expected at the very beginning of the podcast, and this is difficult.
Okay.
I'm trying my best to stump you. It's really hard. Mayor Shoemaker, he had some good trivia questions for us.
Did he?
I'm going to have to get him to email.
I haven't seen those.
He asked you, we talked about it at the mayor's conference.
Okay.
Scott, the trivia question for today is, what municipalities in South Carolina are named for a King of England?
Interesting.
I'll ask you for the name of the municipality, but I'll also ask you for the name of the monarch.
I'm not going to be able to do that. U.S. history. I was a U.S. history major.
Well.
Late, mid-20th century. Not a
too bad.
Not an English, not a United Kingdom major, but I'll try. I'll get a couple of them.
You'll get a couple. I mean, it's a long list.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's long.
Wow, how long is long? More than
like
six?
Long. Well, that's your average is like that's six. You, yeah. Is when you're just like, oh, it's like six.
More or
like,
than six?
Right.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not going to commit to a number. I mean, I don't.
Man.
I'm not big on committing to numbers on trivia questions because I feel like that'll just give it away.
Okay.
I'm not going to give that to you.
I may have to ask a clarifying question when we get to the point.
Certainly.
Of answering. Okay.
I would love to. You know what else I want clarity about?
What?
I want clarity about Senate Bill 284, the affordable housing bill.
Yes.
That bill is in the same status as the audit bill, correct?
Yes. We expect that it will get concurrence in the Senate because the House of Representatives amended it. They amended it with language that Senator Tom Davis from Beaufort Bluffton helped to craft, so there should be no issues. And then the House on the floor yesterday made a modification that he had requested, and they followed through. So when I alerted him that it had been amended and sent back to him, I said that we, as the Municipal Association, of course, recommend concurrence. And so the way the bill has been amended, and I think y'all talked about this last week, the bill has been amended to limit the amount that you can spend to 15% of state and local accommodations taxes.
Right.
Hospitality taxes are
taken out,
can't be used towards that effort. There's a 7-year sunset provision on the bill. And Senator Davis told me when he and I spoke about it last week, hey, we got lots of time. We'll be able to renew this thing whenever it comes back up.
Right.
The Manufactured Housing Association was added to the list of interested parties mm-hmm. to study and advise on this effort going forward. So it's not as good as the clean bill that came out of the Senate, but you know, Senator Davis worked on the amendments and he's happy with it. And so we'll see how well it gets used going forward over the next several years.
The bond reform legislation 3532, that bill that we have been following along the way for our police departments, that is in a conference committee.
Yeah.
That is still in a conference committee. We have not seen as of today at 12:42, we have not seen a conference report on that bill.
And who are the conferees on that? Do we get the conferees on that?
Yeah, conferees are Senators Malloy, Hembree, and Adams, and Representatives Jeff Johnson, Robbins, and Wetmore.
That's right. Okay, good.
Right. And the 3681, the tobacco flavoring bill, that bill has been passed by both bodies and enrolled for ratification.
Yep.
The final bill included a chunk of language about tobacco enforcement.
Yes.
It ramps up enforcement, especially for young people, which is a very good thing. But it also included the language that holds harmless cities' ability to zone and plan.
The zoning authority remained in it, and it's been in there since the bill was introduced and through all of its iterations.
Right.
And you know, thank you to the proponents of that bill for holding true to their commitment to us to
keep
it in there.
Holding true to their word.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing it does not allow municipalities to do is regulate ordinance or pass ordinances related to flavors,
ingredients of
tobacco products.
Right.
No one did that except for Myrtle Beach, I believe, and they were grandfathered in through the legislation.
Well, they actually didn't even do that. What they did
was zoned them out of a particular part of the city.
That's right.
We're waiting to see what's going to happen to H-3503, which is the House fentanyl trafficking bill that's on the Senate calendar right now. They tried to get fentanyl on some other bills, but they've been stripped out.
Yeah.
So we're waiting to see what this fentanyl bill will do because that's another one of our advocacy issues.
Yeah, the shoot up a utility bill got amended with the fentanyl language.
In committee.
And then on the floor yesterday, it was stripped off of the shoot up a utility bill. So the shoot up a utility bill is now clean, back to where it was.
Right.
And then there was discussion about trying to amend it with the felony possession.
Right.
I
think that's on 3503 because that went on in subcommittee, I believe, unless they took it out in full.
And they took that out in full, I think.
Okay.
Because that was what Senator Rankin was. He had that amendment in his hand yesterday on the floor and said, I'm not going to not going to put it on here, but this is an issue. And so interestingly, that so what we're talking about, listener, is essentially, that was not bobtailing, but it is bobtailing in the fact that you've taken an unrelated subject and amended it onto a bill. And the reason that they did that was so that it could get the opportunity to potentially be debated, passed, and signed into law in the absence of being able to get a standalone bill. And this, the urgency, the import to deal with all of these sentencing enhancement efforts, felony possession of firearms, fentanyl, bond reform, for that matter, the hate crimes bill.
These
are all essentially sentence enhancement bills that are important to various factions within the General Assembly. All that's going to come to a head, I think, in the extended session.
Right.
Because constitutional carry, there are two vehicles on the Senate calendar right now for the permitless carry.
Right.
That's in the mix. So everybody's jockeying and trading.
Yes.
They're not trading votes. You can't do that. But they are trading issues to say, okay, if you allow my felony possession of firearms language to go forward, then I won't object and try to stop your open carry, your permitless carry bill from going forward.
Yeah. There's a lot of those issues. And, you know, sometimes our issues have been, you know, from years past, have been in the middle of that, where they'll say, all right, look, if you'll give up this, or, you know, encourage the senator to take his name off this, then we'll give you this. And that happens a lot.
That's happening between the hate crimes bill and the the organized militia bill.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
Those two are entirely unrelated, but they are tied together.
And that happened to us 1 year, Scott. And we've said this over it. It was the organized militia bill. Yeah. And what with it?
DBA, Dilapidated Buildings Act.
That's right. That's right. Because what do those two have in common? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just trying to figure out strategy to get your bill passed.
I guess my larger point is over the coming days, we are going to see all of these things colliding, particularly in the Senate. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. I don't see that any of those things are going to implicate any of our issues.
Right.
But we'll be over there listening intently and keeping our own eyes on what they do.
Any other issues that obviously the abortion issue is huge, and we've seen a lot of back and forth. They have passed their versions of this bill several times, and the House, I read in the newspaper where Senator Katrina Sheely, one of our sister senators, she said, if they so much as change a semicolon, then it's dead. Well, they've done a lot more than change a semicolon.
And we'll come Tuesday.
Right. That's right. We're there no matter what. Yeah. We're there even if they're not debating an issue, because the thing is with the way of the world today is that they could.
Yes.
And so we have to be vigilant.
Anytime there's an opportunity for unanimous consent request.
That's exactly right.
There's,
or any sort of amendment that may or may not be relevant to the bill you're amending.
Let's speak to that real quickly this week. When the accommodations tax workforce housing bill came up for debate, and there really was none, fortunately, that would have been an opportunity for some shenanigans related to short-term rentals.
That's right.
That bill got out. They didn't touch it with regard to short-term rentals. But one of the things that we are working on right now is to ensure that we're going to try to get the short-term rental proviso taken out of the budget. When the House got the Senate's budget, the House amended the budget back to its version.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working very diligently to make sure that that stays out as we go forward.
Right. And in conference committee, we have a version of the budget with it in.
Yes.
And a version of the budget with it out. So that happened last year, I believe. The same issue happened last year. So this is just something that we've grown accustomed to, I guess.
Absolutely.
But that issue, Scott, I'm glad you brought that up. That issue, it is not over just because the bill didn't get out of subcommittee. We're going to continue working with stakeholders and our cities and towns to see, you know, where we can get to a place where this does not become the business licensing issue of 10 years. Every year we have to do it.
Our members are going to hear a lot from us over the summer and fall about short-term rentals and the things that we need to be doing to ensure that cities and towns maintain their regulatory authority over those businesses.
But we're going to give everybody just a little bit of a break before we do that, right?
Yeah.
Tell me, we are?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're gonna take like a lunch break and
everybody's gonna get their vacations in. Right. But long about Labor Day, we're gonna be cranking back up.
We'll talk about it at annual meeting.
Yes. Oh yeah.
We'll talk about it at annual meeting.
For sure.
That's probably where we'll crank it back up, and then we'll start talking about it at regional meetings and really, you know, kind of getting everybody's input and
bringing everybody
to the table.
For you elected officials who are listening, the sign up for annual meeting is approaching.
Yes.
So be talking to your municipal clerk, because he or she is the individual who will be receiving all that registration information. Annual meeting is July the 27th, 28th, and 29th,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
In South Carolina.
One of my favorite all-time places.
We'll be at the Hyatt Regency right there at the corner of Beatty Place, or what's the name of that street right there, Mr. Producer, that crosses over Main? I should know that.
It's a one-way street.
It's not Macbee Avenue. It's not Beatty Place. Beatty Place is the little cross street that comes out right in front of the Hyatt. I can't remember
I know is that the Hyatt has a really cool bar, like in the bottom part of the lobby, where everybody kind of congregates and talks.
That glass sculpture is beautiful.
Yeah, that's just a really cool place. Not to mention all of Main Street. I seriously doubt that I'll be able to get to Greenville for the annual meeting without several of my roommates joining me.
I was in high school.
Roommates meaning my husband and two kids.
I was in high school when that hotel opened.
No way.
And the seniors.
Was I born then?
The seniors of that particular class, for their senior superlatives pictures, went over to the Hyatt, and that's where they took their pictures.
Really?
That's pretty cool. It's in my yearbook.
When did you graduate from high school?
In the year of our Lord, 1987.
Oh, okay. I was not quite 10 years old. Maybe I was 8. I was 8 years old.
So that dates me a little bit.
Just a touch. Anything else
I didn't flunk any grades, so I graduated on time from high school.
Well, that's certainly reassuring to know.
Can't say the same for my college career.
Since you're technically my boss, I'm glad to know that you got out of high school in 4 years.
Technically.
Well,
Blue Ridge at the time was 5 grades. It was 8 through 12. We didn't have a middle school.
Oh.
You went kindergarten to 7th and then 8th to 12th.
I will.
There
tell
was
you
only
that,
400 kids in all 5 grades total, so it was a small school.
Dude, our elementary school is double that.
Oh yeah, I believe it.
That's wild. Have you given any thought to the cities and towns?
Is it
in
trivia
South Carolina
time already? We've covered all of the ground.
It's trivia time. And listen, as your administrative assistant, I also have to make sure that you're going to be on
it's
time,
TT?
So they're going to come back.
It's trivia time.
They're going to come back soon, so I have to get you over to that meeting.
All right, let's see. Well, I think several can be pretty obviously named. Georgetown.
Okay.
All right. Charleston.
Who was Georgetown named after?
King George. That's all I can tell you.
That's it?
I guess, was that G3? Is that KG3? No? Who was that? Which King George was that?
Georgetown's name comes from Prince George Winya Parish.
Prince George. Oh, so we're counting princes
who later became King George II.
Okay.
You were close.
I said KG3, but that was KG2.
No, George II.
Charleston. Well, I went back, Mr. Producer, to the original pronunciation. Let's see. Would King's Tree count?
Wait, who was Charleston?
King Charles.
King Charles the what?
King Charles the Second.
Right. Because you know who Chuck this time around is King Charles III.
He's the third. Wow, right. It's been that long since we've had
How about that?
A
King.
Yes, because
King
Queen Elizabeth
Charles.
Has reigned for 70 years.
Oh, no,
90,
I get that.
Something like that. She was like 19.
When Let's
she was,
see.
There's another Charleston.
In Charleston County? Oh, another Charles. Another one named after Charles, huh?
There's Charleston and there's...
Then there's...
The city slightly north of Charleston.
Oh, North Charleston,
right,
of course.
Right, named after King Charles
II. Thank you for the clue.
And that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
No way. So King Street does not count since it's not named after an actual
There's not a name.
Name of the
like,
king.
Like, it wasn't King Tree.
Okay.
Right?
King's Tree.
Right.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't like...
Right. You know, of course, Mr. Producer, the King's Highway, Highway 17, King's Highway, that was named after which king? I can't... He was the one who was responsible for getting that going there.
King Myrtle?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, it would have been about the same time. And, of course, G-Dub, the original George Washington, you know, he traveled on the King's Highway to get to various locations in South Carolina during his presidency. So.
You really are a bastion of history.
Well, I was a U.S. history major at Winthrop.
So. I guess the longer you're around, the more you know, right?
See, I thought she was going to get through the show. She missed a perfect opportunity earlier when you were saying something about your age, but...
Well, no, I clarified how old I was when you were graduating from high school.
No. At the beginning of the show. We'll have to go back and listen to the tape or the recording. There is no tape anymore. We don't use tape.
I just got a breaking news. The governor has not yet signed squats.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
So we'll continue to monitor that.
Well, it's going
to
go into law with or without his signature, so.
Unless he vetoes it, which I don't think the governor owns a squat truck, so I don't think he's.
Could you imagine seeing Governor Henry McMaster rolling up in a squat truck?
The squatty, as Senator Grooms calls it.
That would be amazing.
Here's what I need for everybody to do. I need everybody listening to this, plus our listener, to stay vigilant. Listen to your legislative delegation. If they've got questions, answer them and let us know if there's something going on that you know about. We have several people that do a phenomenal job at kind of giving us updates and giving us tidbits, and that's awesome. There are still some issues out there that, you know, short-term rentals is still out there. The election bill is still out there. There are a lot of things that we're, you know, still working on that's out there.
Let me say something real quickly about the elections bill, because I've gotten a number of inquiries in the last week from municipal officials about House Bill 3734.
Okay.
And all of the information that they are being given by third parties so far has been incorrect. So if you have questions about what 3734 proposes to do or not do, please reach out to us, reach out to me, and after you read the bill, and I will help answer any questions you have, because whoever's talking to some of these local officials about this bill, it doesn't appear that they have read the bill. So,
okay.
Not our people. Our folks are reading the bill and hearing something from others and saying, well, I'm hearing this, but I'm reading this, you know, which should I believe? Trust your eyes, folks. If you read a bill, and then if you still have questions, reach out to me, particularly on the municipal elections bill.
Agreed.
How about that?
Anything else for the good of the order? King Jeffrey Scott Slatton. You are.
Has there ever been a King Jeffrey? I wonder. I don't think so.
King Joffrey.
Joffrey. Well, I've never seen Game of Thrones. So.
I never watched Game of Thrones either. I'm more of a Ted Lasso fan. So are you.
You're exactly right, Casey. We need intel. If anybody catches wind of even the slightest, what you might even perceive as a...
Trivial, as an insignificant
shenanigan, we need to know about it because it can spiral and snowball very quickly.
That's exactly right. And
this time of year.
We'll be here for you. Thankfully, we have a knowledge perk now down the street from our office, so we're staying caffeinated.
Yeah.
We're staying vigilant, and we will keep reporting as long as they are in session. We will keep doing the podcast, updating you, and we will keep sending out From the Dome to Your Home on Fridays. Everybody, hang tight. It'll be over soon. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.